and excitement you hear is Sunday Night Live from the Calvary Church here in De Quincey, Louisiana, United States of America. You have clicked on to the website of a great broadcast of the gospel now in our ninth year, sending out the message that Jesus Christ is the only Savior of the world. Whatever land you live in, whatever culture is your experience, remember this: Jesus Christ loves you. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God bless you for tuning in. Now, each week, we receive messages that come to our website and to the post office box. Missionary Gerald Schultz reads those messages. Before I bring you the word today, here are a few to bless your heart. Brother Schultz.
Thank you again, Brother Hicks. It's a wonderful time that we're having at Calvary Pentecostal Church in De Quincey, Louisiana. I have a number of messages tonight. The first one reads, Brother Hicks, the camp meeting message on the blood count of Babylon will be remembered forever. Thank you for having the courage to tell it like it is. What would we do without Sunday Night Live? Blessings to all. Bob Schaefer from Albuquerque, New Mexico. Another, Brother Hicks, a brother in truth and an anointed man of God. Many souls have been saved through this ministry. While residing in Utah, I would listen to his tapes for hours. I pray that those who are blessed by this ministry and associated with Calvary Pentecostal Church never take for granted the ministry that many souls have never experienced. M. Parker, USA, says, Brother Hicks, I have tapes of you preaching the Texas camp meeting years ago in the 1970s. Have listened to them until they are worn out. I was excited to hear you again. Signed, Simply Rich. Thank you very much, and now here again is our pastor, Brother Hicks.
To put your hands together, let's clap them for the glory of God before we approach His word on the broadcast tonight. Let's stand, please, in honor of John chapter 4 and verse 24. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. You may be seated. And I want to speak on the subject to the body of Christ tonight, not just here, but worldwide, on the subject, tithe worship. I wonder where we have missed it. When the word tithe is mentioned, everyone thinks of money. The monetary is but a small part of what tithing really is. My subject is tithe worship, and the text is from the lips of Jesus Christ Himself, who said, if you worship, it must be in spirit and it must be in truth. Worship involves more than singing praises to God. My friends, there is worship
in giving. And for that reason, I'm speaking on tithe worship. If I've ever seen a new truth on an old subject, this is it. Why have we missed it all of these years? The reason is simple. The emphasis has always been on money. And being so obsessed with dollars, we have overlooked the word stewardship. Now, I use the word stewardship because we do not give tithe. It is not yours to give. I cannot give your money to someone else. Next, you do not pay tithe. Can you imagine taking someone else's money and paying your bills? So you don't give tithe or you don't pay tithe. So what do you do with the tithe? First, we need to understand we are guardians of God's part. It belongs to Him. And we joyfully return to Him in a spirit of worship because God has entrusted us to care for what is rightfully His. I love the thought that God trusts me with something that belongs to Him. Let's give Him a hand praise for that tonight. Thank God. Now, to teach tithe without worship is lowering the bar. Many years ago, I remember in camp meetings and crusades, sometimes the minister who could tell the most jokes raised the biggest offerings. They would get some of these ministers who could have one joke right after another and have the attention of the audience, and before they knew it, he was getting money from them. But somehow, somewhere along the line, I really don't know when it changed. I'm very honest with you about it. But we suddenly discovered that giving to God is not a joke. It's a form of our worship. And we place our gifts to Him in the offering basket as if we were placing them in the nail-scarred hands of Jesus. A man came to me in a Kansas camp one year and he said, "Brother Hicks, teach me how I can worship with my tithing." And that is exactly what I'm going to talk about now. First, let's talk about the negative approach. Now, for 6 decades I've stood in pulpits. For 9 years I've been here, and this is the 205th broadcast sending around the world the message of God. And in those passing years, we live through some fads that come and go. You remember a couple years ago, the prayer of Jabez? Why don't you hear about it anymore? Well, I guess we all got rich. We prayed the prayer of Jabez and we got more money than we could spend. Oh, don't fool yourself. Those fads come and go. The Lord loveth a cheerful giver. The prayer of Jabez might have worked for some of you, but it was a very self-centered prayer. I'd rather pray the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Give us this day our daily bread." Thank God, that's the prayer that will really count. But I'm going to make a statement now, and I'm going to make it with power and with sincerity, and I want you to listen to it. It is wrong to give to get. Now, some of you people out there need to hear this. When you give in the right attitude, Luke 6:38, Jesus says, "Give, and it shall be given to you. You will be blessed. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over." I'm not talking about the blessing that comes to you when you give. I'm talking about the motive of giving in order to get. And that is the wrong way to give. On the television programs, the ministers spend 75% of their time talking about seed faith money. Send us $10, $20, $100, $1,000, and you'll receive $2,000, $5,000, $10 million, whatever. I don't know what all they promise. But if they take that time that's very expensive and preach the souls about the kingdom of God and quit telling people how they can become wealthy and enhanced financially, it would be time better served and God would bless it more. And I've often thought, why, if seed faith money works so well, why don't you preachers use it on yourselves? Take your $20, your $100, and plant it, and then you wouldn't have to get on television and radio and beg for people to send you money. Maybe the principle doesn't work for you. Maybe it's like the services where I've seen where people are told with a certain word and they hit the floor. Others, with the breath of someone, they're blown down. And you got a problem here. I never doubt what God can do. He can shake, rattle, and roll all of us. He doesn't have to ask us what to do. But my question is, how come the guys that catch him don't get it? Are they immune from the wind? Are they immune from the power of God? Have they been inoculated by something we don't know about? You don't know it, but I'm preaching right now. Everybody say amen. The world needs to hear some of this kind of preaching, and I'm telling you, you can be deceived. Even the very elect of God can be deceived. So let's get back to the Bible. And Jesus said in Luke 8 and verse 11, this will surprise you. Listen, your seed is not your $20 bill. Your seed is not your $1,000 check. I don't care what the preacher tells you. Jesus said, Luke 8:11, the seed is the Word. Let me say it again. The seed you plant is the Word. In other words, you give your tithe and your offerings in truth. That's why I'm preaching you worship God in spirit and in truth. And when you give in truth, then you understand this. Let me talk first of all now about the origin of tithing. Someone says it was for the Old Testament and then the Old Testament law. And we have no obligation today to tithe. Now let me give you an example. Tithing was before the law. Tithing was incorporated in the law, and tithing was practiced after the law. Let me prove it. Look at Genesis 14:20. 700 years before Moses received the law at Sinai, Abraham tithed to Melchizedek. Ladies and gentlemen, how could it be of the law if it was practiced 700 years before the law? Not only that, there's a man named Jacob on the top of Mount Bethel said, God, if you go with me, I'll give you 10%. I'll tithe the rest of my life. That was 500 years before Moses received the law on Mount Sinai. So the tithing was practiced before the law. And then, of course, it was incorporated in the law, Leviticus 27, 30 and 33, under the law of Moses, 2 Chronicles 31, 5. And then it was practiced after the law. Now perk up your ears and listen to this. You have to hear what the Bible says about tithe today. Jesus Christ said, now you remember, He wasn't just another man. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And Jesus said to do it. Let me give you the Bible. The Bible says in Luke 11:42, ye tithe, and this you ought to have done. Somebody say amen. Then in Matthew 23:23, Jesus said, ye ought to tithe and not leave it undone. Jesus said that after the law of Moses was given. Then God is a spirit, and God has set it up that in the ministry and the church, the tithing should be brought into the body of Christ, into the church. The Bible says in Hebrews 7:8, here, men that die, God is emphasizing the mortality of those of us who care for God's part, receive tithe. Now, in the Old Testament, the first tithe went to the Levite. They had three different tithes. One went to the poor, but the first tithe went to the support of the ministry. And I hear preachers all the time say, boy, I got a church of 500. I can live on all the tithe. I can buy me many mansions and I can get wealthy. Wait a minute, brother. There was a law that forbid the Levites that took the tithe from owning any property. I don't know if that's going to square with your lake house and your multiplicity of homes. Preach it, Brother Hicks. I feel anointed right now. I tell you, I believe God is talking to somebody, and I'm going to make a few comments here about this. Tithe is something you don't have to take my word for it. You can test it, prove it, and God will prove to you that it works. Even He said in Malachi, prove me herewith and see if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing upon you that there will not be room enough for you to contain. Now, God doesn't want a tip, but a tithe. I remember there was a dear old lady down in Texas, and I took, she and a group of people to the camp meeting one year. It was back in 1950s and 60s. And this dear lady didn't even know how to order food at a restaurant. So I ordered her a hamburger. And when the dinner was finished, we're ready to continue our trip to Lufkin, I left a tip on the table. And I got out in the car, and she said, "Brother Hicks, you left a 50-cent piece on that table in there." And she brought me the tip that I had left for the waitress. She never heard of a gratuity. What I'm trying to say is this: God doesn't want a tip. He wants 10%. Now somebody shout amen. Now I'll tell you what, you need to hear this, because if you want to kill the spirit of covetousness, all you got to do is just start giving. It'll kill covetousness. Now I can't explain some things about giving. The Bible says in Psalms 11:24, "If you scatter, you shall have an increase." I don't understand how you increase by scattering, but it works, and I believe it. I don't understand Acts 20 and 35. "It is better to give than to receive." Now walk into a home and tell a man that when he owes a $200 light bill in this hot area, and he can't pay it because he only has $100. Somebody comes by and says, "I feel to give you a $100 bill." Now tell that guy it's more blessed to give than it is to receive, because he'll be happy to get that $100 bill. I'm not going to challenge the Word of God, because I've tried it, I've tested it, and it works. It's more blessed to give than it is to receive. Let's give the Lord another hand praise. Next, we need to understand that God doesn't desire the leftovers. There's something in the Bible from Genesis on through about the first fruits. Some people allocate it. They put their tithing aside. And so God can spend His blessing upon the other 90%. And I've always said this: I would rather have 90% with His blessings than 100% with His curse. And the Bible says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all of these things will be added to you." Then we do not give or return God's tithe to Him by impulse. I think I'll just give this much. Let me ask you something. What if the United States government had a meeting and the Congress all of a sudden decided to do away with the Internal Revenue Service? I heard amens all the way from California to Maine just then. And I can hear people say, "Well, that's what we ought to do. Just do away with the IRS. Well, what would we do? How would we support the military? How would we support our nation? Well, we just give by impulse. Every April the 15th, we all just sit down at a desk and we say, now let me see how much I'm going to give the government now today. You know as well as I know, we'd go broke in a week. You can't give by impulse. You have to have a system that God has ordained and God bless. Somebody says, "What do you tithe on?" I answer simply, the increase. That's what the Bible says. If you buy a house for $30,000 and you sell it for $50,000, you owe God's tithe on $20,000. That's simple arithmetic. Anybody can figure that out. And let me tell you, there was a little boy one time. He had to help work. He even had to get a job to support his mother. And he made $1.50 for the first week of labor. And he brought it to his mama. And he laid that $1.50 in her lap. And she said, "Son, I really appreciate this and I love you for this. But I'd be very happy if you took the 10% that belongs to the Lord and give it to Him." And the little fellow said, "Okay, I'll do that, Mama. I'll take the 10% and give it to the Lord." And this man said, "If I hadn't done that day and given tithe on $1.50, I wouldn't be able to give tithe on the first million I made." The name of that man was John D. Rockefeller Sr., who was one of the wealthiest men in all the world, and said, "I tithe on every dollar I ever made." J.C. Penney gave 90% of his income to the work of God. I'm telling you, there's a blessing. You don't give to receive, but when you give, you will receive. Let me say that again. You don't give to receive, but when you give, you will receive. God will bless you for it. And He says, "Bring all the tithe into the storehouse." Now, somebody will click me off of the internet. It is a place where God feeds the flock of God, and the Holy Ghost hath made the pastors overseers, under shepherds of the flock of God. And God said, bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse. Now, what did he mean by that? I have a man that I admire very much in my imagination and my listening to television and radio, Dr. Robert Schuller. I hope Dr. Schuller hears this. He is founder and minister of the Crystal Cathedral in Gardendale, California. Now, a few years ago, Dr. Schuller got up in his big temple and proclaimed himself to be the television pastor of the United States of America, the TV pastor. Well, I didn't get too upset about that. But then he said, now what you need to do is send your tithe to the cathedral here, to the hour of power. Now that is wrong, dead wrong, unscriptural, unbiblical. You're not supposed to send your tithe to radio and television ministers. The Bible said, bring it into the storehouse. Let's give the Lord another good hand praise for the way he outlined it in his book. And he said, if you'll do that, I'll open the windows of heaven and show a blessing, and you'll not have room enough to contain it. About a beggar in the eastern part of the country. He sat by the wayside, and he begged, help, help, help. Here came a man with a big heart, a generous spirit. And he looked at the man and saw his need. And he was moved with compassion. He took out a little bag of gold coins. He had 10 solid gold coins. And he was so moved, he counted out 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. And he thought, I may need one for myself. I'm going to give this man 9. I'm going to put one back in the bag for me. And so he did. And he walked off into the night. And the beggar got up and picked up a piece of wood and followed him in the night. Hit him over the head. Reached in that bag and took the 10th. I don't think we need the spirit of interpretation. God found us with nothing. Some time ago, I was being a little reckless with the suit of clothes that God had provided for me. And someone said to me, you're not a very good steward keeping that suit like that. I've learned this. Everything God has given us, he's given us because he trusted us. And when he gives me something that belongs to him, then I have to dedicate it back to him and worship him in spirit and in truth. I'm asking you out there in this audience, not only here but around the world, check your spirit. Trust your heart. God's church should never lack for the amount of finances. I say this because I'm totally free to do so. I have never asked you to send one penny to this ministry. In fact, just the opposite. Our faithful people who tithe here pay these internet bills. Thank God for them. But we don't ask for your money, because our goal is not your finances. We're reaching for your heart. We're reaching for your soul. Don't follow in the night and hit God over the head and reach down and pick up the tenth that belongs to him and keep that too for yourself. I don't have time. My heart is full. This has been a different understanding about tithe to me. Everybody talks about money. I've talked about something more than money. I've talked about a spirit of worship. And it's so present here tonight. And some of you are not right with God. You're lost without God. Wouldn't it be terrible if you tithe, you gave to the church, and then all of a sudden you died without God and were lost? Well, what you gave did not save you. You can't buy salvation with money. Jesus shed his blood that you may be redeemed. And that's the only way you can be saved. Not by what you do, but by what you obey, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now I'm begging you tonight, if you've had a lust for money, the Bible doesn't say money is the root of all evil. You need to straighten that out in your mind too. The Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. If money is your God, then get it under the blood. Come clean with Jesus tonight and stand with me in this audience, and we're going to pray.
We appreciate you clicking on the Sunday Night Live, an international broadcast ministry that's on the air 24/7. This broadcast service features the ministry of our pastor, Marvin Hicks, and it comes to you each week from the Calvary Church in DeQuincy, Louisiana. Now, when you visit us here, you will find a warm welcome in a spiritual atmosphere. And now, speaking for all the wonderful people who make Calvary their church home, we're asking God to especially bless you this week, because we know God loves you, and so do we.